Now, there are two general types of mastermind alliances. Number one, alliances for purely social or personal reasons, consisting of one's relatives, friends, and religious advisors, where no material gain is sought. The most important of this type, of course, is the mastermind alliance between a man and his wife. And number two, an alliance for business or professional advancement, consisting of individuals who have a personal motive or a material or financial nature connected with the object of the alliance. There must be a motive. You can have no mastermind alliance without every individual member of it having a motive. You must be getting something out of it. You can't form a mastermind alliance and use the brains and the experience and the friendship and the love and the affection and maybe the capital of the other fellow without him getting something back from it, even though he's willing to give it for a time. Don't you accept it. Don't accept anything from anybody unless you are giving something of an equivalent value in return in one way or another. Bear that in mind. Just don't do it. Because if you do, the relationship will play out sooner or later. And I made it a point never, never to receive favors from anybody without returning those favors. It's a good habit for anybody to follow. Now, instructions for forming and maintenance of a mastermind alliance. First of all, adopt a definite major purpose as an objective to be attained by the alliance, choosing individual members whose education, experience, and influence are such as to make them of the greatest value in achieving your purpose. Be careful about those mastermind allies when you go to choose them. And if you happen to make a mistake and get someone in there who doesn't fit, you do the same thing identically as if you were in the apple business and you opened up a barrel and you discovered there was a rotten one way down in the middle. A lot of trouble to get it out. You have to take out a lot of the ones that are not rotten, but never stop until you get that rotten one out, because if you don't, it'll pollute all the rest. Don't have anybody in your mastermind alliance who isn't in thorough accord with you and with everybody else in that alliance. If any two allies in your mastermind alliance commence to be out of step, get rid of one or the other of them, or get rid of both of them if necessary, and replace them with somebody who will work in harmony. Two, determine what appropriate benefit each member may receive in return for his cooperation in the alliance, and see that he gets it, even though he doesn't ask for it. See that he gets it anyway. If he earns a thing, why, you know he earns it. You know the benefit of it. Don't cheat the other fellow just because of his ignorance. See that he gets everything he's entitled to and maybe a little bit more. Third, establish a definite plan through which each member of your mastermind alliance will make his contribution in working toward the achievement of the object of the alliance, and arrange a definite time and place for mutual discussion of the plan, of a regular meeting time, a regular meeting place. Indefiniteness here will bring defeat. Keep a regular means of contact between all members of the alliance. These great corporations that are successful, these banking institutions, they have their regular meetings of their mastermind allies. They call them boards of directors. Well, an individual needs a board of directors if he's aiming for anything above mediocrity, just the same as a bank or an industrial concern. He needs to surround himself with a lot of people who can do things he can't do. Mr. Carnegie dumbfounded me once by saying, "Don't ever do anything that you can get somebody else to do better than you can do it." I thought that was kind of foolish when he first said it, but I found out later it wasn't. Mr. Carnegie also surprised me in another way. He said, "These mastermind allies that I have here are responsible entirely for my fortune." He said, "I personally don't know anything about either the making or the selling of steel, but in my mastermind group, there is all the knowledge that there is about the making and the marketing of steel." I said, "Well, what is your part, Mr. Carnegie?" He said, "I'm glad you asked that question, and you'll be surprised when I tell you what my part is. My part is to keep these boys working together in a spirit of harmony. That's all. They know what they're supposed to do, but I keep harmony." I said, "Have you ever had to throw out any of your mastermind allies?" "In my entire life," said he, "three, only three, in an entire lifetime." Number four, it is the burden of the leader of the alliance, that's you, to see that harmony of purpose prevails among all members and that action is maintained constantly in carrying out the object of the plan adopted. That's your major purpose. And next, the watchword behind the alliance should be definiteness of plan and purpose, backed continuously by perfect harmony. The major strength of such an alliance consists in perfect meeting of the minds of all the members. Jealousy, envy, or friction, as well as a lagging of interest on the part of any member, will bring almost certain defeat. Last but not least, the number of individuals in an alliance should be governed entirely by the nature of the purpose to be attained. In some instances, for instance, man and his wife make up a mastermind alliance quite sufficient to see his objective through. In other instances, you might need a dozen or 20, depending entirely upon the nature of the objective and what has to be done in order to attain it. Naturally, you will surround yourself with people who are capable of doing the things that you want to do and maybe things that you couldn't by yourself do.
One man who could do very little for himself discovered this principle by sheer misfortune. But to his good fortune, he made this philosophy work.
He was a farmer who made but little more than a bare living from a small farm near Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. When he had reached middle age, he was stricken with double paralysis and totally disabled. As he laid in his bed, he made a profound discovery. He discovered that he had a mind that had not been affected by his paralysis. And he began to explore that mind, and he discovered in it an idea that was destined to help him convert his little farm into fabulous riches. He called his families to his bedside and told them of his discovery and instructed them to join with him in the mastermind alliance he needed to convert his idea into cash. He said, "I want you to plant every acre of our land in corn, then start raising hogs on the corn, and we will slaughter them while they are young and convert them into little pig sausages." Now, that man was Milo C. Jones, and he lived to see his idea and his application of the mastermind principle make him a huge fortune, because his little pig sausages became a household word all over America.
The first mastermind group you need to form is one that is within your mind. In the next session, you'll hear exactly how to do this so that you can then join forces with a wider alliance to reach your goals.